ahead and be seated. The children will come to the front for the children's message.
We have any kids? There's a few kids. We're right here. Hey, guys. How are y'all? Can you hold this for a minute? I'm all tangled up. All right. There's a few kids, maybe. A few kids? All right. Hey, Harper. How are you? All right, I'll take my box back. Thank you. All right, how's everybody doing today?
Good.
Are y'all awake this morning?
No.
Yes, all right. You're not awake? Okay, so did everybody have a wonderful Christmas?
Yes.
Yes. And did you get gifts?
Yes.
Yes. You got gifts? Yeah, do you enjoy getting gifts? Yes, that's right. So, do you have a favorite gift that you got this year, Harper?
My gymnastics mat.
You got a gymnastics mat? All right. Josiah?
Hippie Kelly.
Is that right? All right. Anybody else? Terry?
Electric scooter.
Electric scooter. All right. What did you get?
A hoverboard.
A hoverboard. All right. Wow. So, everybody got some good gifts, right? Yeah, but getting gifts is always fun, right? All right, but do you know there's one thing that I've learned about getting a gift is that no matter how much you enjoy them, they don't last forever, do they? Right? Because you have to maybe something breaks or whatever, so they don't last forever. But there is one gift that I have with me this morning that's different. This gift never wears out. You never get tired of it. Never gets broken. This gift keeps going year after year after year after day, day after day after day, minute by minute. This gift keeps going. Do you know what this gift is?
A Bible.
A Bible. Okay, close. Yeah. Do you know what it is? It's Jesus. That's right. Let me see if I can get my box out. It's Jesus. It's the gift of Jesus.
I thought you meant Christmas.
Huh?
I thought you meant Christmas.
Well, Christmas is Jesus' birthday, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. So the Bible tells us that God sent his son Jesus as our gift. Okay? And the gift of Jesus will last forever. But we have to receive that gift from God and believe in Jesus, don't we? Do we need to receive Jesus and believe in him? That's right. So, and his gift is that he will love us. He protects us. He's with us. He provides for us. He takes care of us. He's with us all the time. He never leaves us. He doesn't ever wear out. He doesn't go away. Did you know that about Jesus? Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? That his gift never wears out. And it says in Psalms 23:6, it says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So someday we're going to be with Jesus. Did you know that? And we will have this eternal gift.
Maybe.
Maybe? You think so? Okay. Well, so we enjoy receiving and getting gifts, but I think it's important that we remember that Jesus is the greatest gift of all, no matter the time of the year, not just Christmas. Can y'all remember that this today, tomorrow, next week, maybe at Valentine's Day? Can you remember that Jesus is the greatest gift? Yeah. Okay. So, all right, let's say a prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us so much that you did send your son Jesus, and he is the greatest gift, and you had a plan for him, that he would go to the cross for us, and his love is amazing, Lord. We thank you for everyone that's here today, and bless us as we go to Children's Church. In Jesus' name, amen.
See ya.
Can you carry this for me? Thank you. All right, you ready?
Trust everyone had a good Christmas. Glad that you're here this morning. Again, I welcome you to our worship service. Welcome our online audience as well. In our Wiley Methodist app, you can register your attendance. We'd love to know that you were here. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you are here, and I would love to meet you. I will be out at on this end of the foyer at the end of the service. They have a free gift for our guests and would love to meet you. Couple of announcements. We will have communion next week, and if you are at home and want to partake in that, come by the church office this week. The office will be closed, but we'll have some some of our communion elements available to you. Just come by the office and we'll have something assigned, set out where you'll know where those are. Our Wednesday nights, we will, you may say in the bulletin, the online bulletin, it may say a week earlier, but we've extended that back to January the 13th will be our first night, and we're going to be evaluating that as we get closer to that date, but plan on January the 13th for that. We will, if you will stand with me, if you're able, we're going to recite this creed, this ancient creed that has been said. And you know, there are thousands and thousands of Christians all over the world that recite this creed every Sunday morning. These are the tenets of our faith. These are the things that we can count on that bind our hearts together. So let's recite this creed together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Just a reminder that word Catholic means universal. As we go to a time of prayer this morning, I just invite you as we start, just in your own heart, to just tell the Lord how you feel about him. Thank him for the blessings that he has given you in your life and who he is, just in your own heart. Father, you are the King of Kings. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You are Emmanuel. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the God of all comfort. And you love us. Father, in response to your great love for us, we love you back. We thank you for the gift that we just celebrated, that as Carlene said with her children, Father, the gift that doesn't diminish, it doesn't disappear. The gift of Jesus is not something that comes and goes. It is a steadfast, eternal gift. You walk with us through the great times and through the trials of life. You never leave us or desert us. Father, I lift up those who have just gone through perhaps the first Christmas without a loved one. I lift them up. May you, as the God of all comfort and the Prince of Peace, fall on them. Walk with us, Father, as we enter into a new year. Father, as I prayed earlier, may we pray that something would shift in the spiritual realm, that, Father, that this new year would be a blessed year. We ask, Father, that soon we'll be able to come back together, all of us. No one will be worried about their health. We'll be able to give hugs and handshakes to embrace one another. But Father, in the midst of it, we know that you walk with us. You are so good to us. Bless us, O God. May we keep our focus on you. May we be about your business, even in the midst of this uncertainty, this trial that we're walking through. May we keep focused on you. Grow us and strengthen us. Mature us. Father, I give thanks for this fellowship of believers that you've assembled, and we've given the name Wiley Methodist Church, but Father, we're yours. We belong to you. And I am grateful and thankful for these that you've assembled and for their faithfulness to you and to your people. Bless them, O God. For those who've experienced loss this year, may they find compassion and mercy and comfort. We pray all this, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to invite you as we worship more together. The offering plates are up here on the rail. There's also the online giving. Feel free to worship with your offering at this time as well.
Yeah. Good morning, church. We welcome those that are here this morning, and we welcome you online. We welcome you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, happy after Christmas Sunday. Are you tired? You know, the Christmas season has come and gone. And I like what Pastor said, you know, why let this ramp up to Christ's birth and the glory of that and the goodness of that? Why let that be just a season, right? Why let that be just a Sunday? And I like A.W. Tozer's words on the subject of Christmas. He said this. He said, "Christmas is not merely a time to celebrate, but rather it is a time to embrace Christ and rest in Him for all the days of our lives." Amen? So it's not just a time to celebrate. It's a time to find rest in Him. And it's not just a time to find rest in Him for a day or two or during a family time or during a reading of the Christmas story. It's a time to find rest in Him for all the days of our lives. That should bring peace to us. That should bring power to us. You know, there's power when we find rest in times like 2020. Amen? Now, originally, my sermon was going to be, why do we need to read the Bible? Or my shorter title was, read yo Bible. But as I studied, and it often happens when I do this, it morphed into a few more considerations. And so the new message title is Gifts from God That Produce Rest in Jesus. Gifts from God that we have, that He provides to us, that produces rest in Jesus. What we're going to discuss this morning are the things that are available to us that help us find rest in Jesus in a very trying time. You know, 2020 has been trying and it's been rough, and God bless the families that have lost loved ones during this time. But this isn't going to be the only trying times we have. And I know that doesn't sound happy, but if we don't find who the rock is and who we can rely on and walk through this with, it's going to be a struggle. So I'm going to be coming to you. I'm going to read a really uplifting verse here. Are you ready? I'm going to be coming to you out of 2 Timothy. Probably the last letter written by Paul. It's a more personal letter than Paul's first writings to Timothy. In his first letter to Timothy, he was expressing the expressions of one of a free man, and he was expressing his hopes to soon be with his son in the faith. But his second letter is quite different. He's in prison. He's been abandoned by most of his friends. This letter details the conditions that are going to prevail upon the earth during the last days. So first we'll look at, and you're going to have to be, you're going to have to work a little bit this morning. I didn't put the scriptures up on the screen. So get your Bibles out and get your phones out and be ready to look at some passages. First passage is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. And then in chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, Paul says this, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, I know that's very uplifting, right? Great uplifting scripture, but doesn't it sound familiar? I mean, when you think about what's going on today, you may disagree with me, but I believe that we're in the middle of a significant moral decline, an actual abandonment of religious beliefs and faith. And as Christians, we need to be sure of who we are and what we believe. And we need to know how to live in these days. You know, as Christians, we're not called just to live for ourselves. We're called to be the light. I can't just be worried about Robert or Robert and his family. I have to be worried about sharing the light of Jesus in a time when there are people all around me who don't know who to turn to, who don't know who the light is. And Scripture tells us that we have gifts or resources to rely on, to live confidently and boldly in the face of a world that, quite frankly, has gone mad. I've got four gifts from God this morning for you to consider. Four resources, if you will, available to help us live through these challenging times. Now, these aren't the only four gifts or four resources that we have available to us as Christ followers. One of the things that is not on the list today is the church. The church is an obvious gift and resource to us. Jesus gave us the church, and it is a gift. But without these four we're going to talk about, there is no church. So we got to get our acts together and utilize these gifts that Jesus has given us, that God has given us, and come together as the church of Jesus Christ in a time that's gone mad and be the light to the world. Our first gift or resource, not in order of importance, because they're all important, but our first one is faith. Our faith. The Bible says faith is believing and receiving what God has revealed to us. In John 1:12, says this, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. The familiar verse, John 3:16, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then to be even clearer, in John 14:6, Jesus says this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God has revealed Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our faith in Him propels us to loving obedience and good works. You see, I'm not a young man anymore. Can you tell? I think my hair gives it away, right? I'm not a young man anymore. But what I have figured out as I get older is that if I want to try to live a life pleasing to Jesus that propels me to loving obedience and good works, then I've got to turn to Jesus more in faith. Because Jesus has the answers. In James 2:14 through 26, James, the brother of Jesus, says this: faith without works is dead. So we can't just say we believe in Jesus, right? We can't just profess that we believe in Jesus. There's an actual doing that shows our faith in Jesus. But we get things kind of mixed up sometimes. It's not the other way around. And this is really important. Good works do not create faith. Good works do not create faith in Jesus. Good works do not create an eternal gift in heaven. Good works do not earn salvation. No, our faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us produces good works. It's the evidence of our faith. Amen? It's the evidence of our faith. We can't go through life just saying, I believe in Jesus, and that be the end of it. I have learned the hard way that I've got to have an example in Christ. I have to have an example of my faith. And I'm not trying to earn brownie points with Jesus, because that doesn't work. But I want it to be a result of my faith in the Lord. What are some of the works? Feeding the hungry, clothing and helping those in time of need, blessing widows, taking care of the fatherless, protecting the sanctity of life, sharing Jesus, being full of the fruits of His Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things produce rest in Christ. You know, you can have good works with no faith. But you cannot have faith without the evidence of good works. A faithful Christian bleeds good works. It's in our DNA. It has to come out. The Spirit of Jesus Christ propels us to good works. Gift resource number two, the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7 tells us that God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and discipline. Sometimes I read that and I have to ask myself, Robert, are you living in power? Are you living in love? Are you living in discipline? Sometimes I think the hardest of the three is discipline, right? I'm my own enemy. I know most of y'all are perfect, but I am my own enemy. I gotta work on living in discipline, which I think produces living in power and living in love. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power, love, and discipline, Jesus gave us. I want to read to you what Jesus says of the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 and 17. And Jesus says this: I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then 14:26, Jesus says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And bear with me, but I have to read 16:7-15. John 16:7-15. Jesus says this about the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now that's a strange thing to say, right? Jesus Christ, God on earth, perfect. Don't you think the disciples were a little confused? It's to your advantage that I go away. But as we read this, we have to understand the principle of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. Jesus says, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit of God is our helper. Anybody ever feel like they need a little help? If you talk to someone in construction, my son is a journeyman electrician. If you talk to him, he'll tell you that his helper is the most important part of what they do. Because if he has a really good helper, then he can get the job done quicker and they can do more jobs. Our helper, the Holy Spirit, helps us walk through this life on earth. And the cool thing is that he's with us forever. Jesus gave him to us. Jesus leaves. You heard him say it. I got to go, right? I've got to leave. But I'm going to send you the helper. So my question is, for me and for us, is how many conversations are we having with the helper? How many conversations are we having with the Holy Spirit? And I encourage you that if you are not having conversations with the Holy Spirit, start. Start like this. Holy Spirit, I don't know what to say to you, but I know that Jesus left you for me to be my helper. And so would you please speak to me and help me? I can't do it alone. And I know that you're a holy part of the Trinity, and I don't understand the Trinity. But I know that God said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So it's a big deal. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He doesn't speak lies. Now look, there are many voices in this world. All right? There are evil voices in this world. But the Holy Spirit is only going to speak truth. The Holy Spirit can always be tested by Scripture, and He'll only speak truth. And while we're on that, a side note, I won't charge you, okay? I won't charge you for this. Your pastor, my pastor, and everybody else's pastor, and me, everybody that speaks for the Word of God should be tested to the Scriptures. Don't believe me. Don't just believe our pastor. He's a great guy. I trust him 100%. But go to the Word. Read your Bible. Go to the Word. The Holy Spirit abides in us. And this is the thing that we sometimes struggle or don't understand. He's in us. He's also with us. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. Explain that, right? He's everywhere. He's our teacher. He can help us when we need help. He helps us remember the truths of Christ. If we're reading our Bible, then the Holy Spirit helps bring remembrance to the words of Jesus to us. He's our advantage. I want an advantage in this world. He convicts the world of sin. He also convicts us of righteousness. With the Holy Spirit's help, we are no longer slaves to sin. We are slaves to righteousness. You know, when I fail and I go to Jesus and I ask God for forgiveness, you know, I have to confess. This is scriptural. I confess, ask forgiveness, and I repent. And repentance is trying to not do that anymore. Go the other way, right? But I also claim the victory that I am not a slave to sin. As a Christ follower, I am a slave to righteousness, and so are you. He reveals judgment in the world. He exposes the enemy to us. Sometimes it's an advantage to us to have the enemy exposed to us so we can fight, right? So we can understand. It's a supernatural thing. Sometimes, I've said this before, that I don't wish, really, this isn't true, but think about, if you could put on spiritual glasses and see what's really going on in the spiritual world, it would probably scare us all straight. Right? There's more than just this going on, and it's spiritual and it's supernatural. But the Holy Spirit reveals the enemy. He guides us into all truth. He only gives glory to God, and He teaches us how to do the same. And remember, He only speaks and does what the Father is speaking and doing. He's trustworthy. He's my best friend. He should be your best friend. My wife is my best friend, but supernaturally, the Holy Spirit is my best friend. He's trustworthy. Gift number three, the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. Says this: "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ." He says the Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given to us by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are all men and women of God if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And back just a couple of scriptures, a couple of verses, he says, "And that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." The Scriptures bring wisdom. The Scriptures bring salvation. They bring proof to us that God is holy. We need to read the Scriptures so much that we begin to breathe them. We need to read the Scriptures so much that we begin to breathe them. That as we go through the day, it's a part of our DNA. You know, there's never been a time in history that it was easier to read the Bible. Never been a time easier than now. I should do this, right? Is this on? To read the Bible. My gosh, the YouVersion app is amazing on the phone. And when I talk to people who really struggle with reading the Bible and they say, "Gosh, I don't understand it." It doesn't matter. Okay? Let's take the first step. Let's start reading the Bible because it's a supernatural principle. It's the washing of the Word. The Bible is supernatural. So if I read something I don't understand, I can ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to me. But if I don't understand it, it's still a washing of the Word. Now here's the cool thing. How many days in the year are there? Right? 365 days in the year. If you're not really reading the Bible much, I don't remember percentages now, but I think it's 70%, that range, of Christians aren't reading the Bible. All right? If you're not reading the Bible much, read one scripture a day. Start in the Gospels. And read one scripture a day, and at the end of the year, you will have read 365 scriptures more than you probably are reading. Right? Pretty simple stuff, right? I promise you, you're going to be closer to Jesus a year from now if you've got that in you. Okay? Another thing with the YouVersion is really cool is the Bible verse of the day, right? So it might be a couple of verses, it might be one verse, but it'll send it to you once a day. And there's your reading, right? Another thing on the YouVersion, still on the phones, because we spend a lot of time on our phones, right? So another thing on the YouVersion is the plans. Tons of plans to just guide you through some devotions every day. Now, I'm not against picking up the Bible and reading it. I'm all for that and making notes. But let's get in the Word. It's so easy. You know who doesn't want us in the Word? The enemy. Because this exposes him. It exposes him in our own lives, and it exposes him in the world. We need to wrestle with the world, with the Word. We need to meditate on the Word. We need to pray the Word. We need to follow what it says. From it comes wisdom, salvation, and faith. Be confident in knowing that all Scripture is inspired by God. It teaches us. It disciplines us. It corrects us. It trains us in righteousness. It equips us to do good works, which is the evidence of our faith. Read your Bible. Gift resource number 4. We have the grace of Christ. The grace of Christ. Hebrews 14:16 says that Jesus is seated on a throne of grace. Jesus wants us to draw near with confidence to his throne of grace so that we can find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. 2 Corinthians 5:19-21 says that we are not just reconciled to God through Christ, but as believers, we are always reconciled to God through Christ. It is finished. Jesus finished it on the cross. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are reconciled to God always through Jesus Christ when we run to Him. There is no closed door. And as Christians, we miss this. As Christians, we beat ourselves up, right? We fail, we mess up, we beat ourselves up. Let me encourage you that when you fail, run back to the Father that very minute and ask for forgiveness and confess and ask for forgiveness and repent. Don't let the enemy put minutes or hours or days between you and Jesus. Because Jesus stands like this with his hands wide open. He says, come on, come on, come talk to me. Because my grace is forever for you. My mercy is forever for you. Billy, you guys can come up. The grace of Jesus picks us up when we fail him. Did you hear me? It's good news. The grace of Jesus picks us up when we fail him. Dirty as we are, he dusts us off. He cleans us up, and he makes us new through his mercy, his grace, and his forgiveness. We can have confidence through the good times and the not so good times in our lives that he has eternally forgiven us and saved us. We are His. Christian, you've got these resources, not just on the good days, but you've got them on the bad days. Brother or sister that's struggling with whether or not you really know Jesus, or struggling that you've just done too much, you've went too far, remember this truth. You are never out of the reach of God's grace through Jesus Christ. You are never out of the reach of God's grace through Jesus Christ. Come to Him now and be a testimony for the ages. Let me close with this. In these days, right now, we should stand on our faith, rely on and be led by His Holy Spirit. Read, believe, and walk out the Word of God, and accept and live out the grace of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we choose today to stand on Your faith, to be led by Your Holy Spirit, to begin reading Your Word and believing it and walking it out. And Jesus, we accept Your grace and Your mercy and Your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Face to face when
thank you, Robert, so much for bringing the word. And I'm going to read my Bible. If you read your Bible, I promise, okay? Church, have a blessed day. God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.